This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Tessa, you have to have facts.
Let me give you a fact, Peter. Remember 2000 when we beat the Minnesota Vikings 41-0? You think any of those Minnesota fans would be like, oh, my God, we would rather
Are the Vikings your divisional rival? Tessa, I forgot. When did you become rivals?
18-1 season?
Tessa.
You're bringing up to 18-1 season?
Tessa.
Tom Brady will give up every single Super Bowl ring he had just to win 18-0.
Tessa.
Super Bowl ring he had, he didn't say he would give it up. You want to bring that? You can't tell us Giants fans how to feel because you're a loser and you root for a loser.
Tessa, guess what, Tessa? You lost too.
The Michael K. Show.
I'm not the bad fan. You are.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Wow. I don't even know how we move on from that. There's obviously a legitimate break between Tessa and Peter.
I don't mind. It was a good call. She went a little overboard there.
She was very on point.
I think she went a bit far, but
I was gonna say I think we lean into it. To be honest with you.
But I enjoyed the call. I always enjoy her calls. She just she sounded a little nuts by saying that it's a loser franchise.
Well, Steve Young heard it. At least he heard the encapsulation at the top. So let's bring in Steve and tell him exactly what that phone call was about, so he could ring in as well. Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Hey guys. How you doing?
Good. So, Peter yesterday tweeted out.
I don't want to. There's no point in talking to Steve about this.
I want to.
But he wouldn't understand.
He might.
No, he's a player. He doesn't get it.
All right. So he's also a fan. He was there as a fan yesterday.
Okay.
He said because the Giants got their butt kicked against the Eagles, that as a fan, you'd rather they not make the playoffs at all than have to suffer through that.
Then go do something else. Don't follow football. Don't. What do you do? Like, get out of it. You don't have to be a fan of football.
Go do something else. Why? Like,
what Why? Lost your mind?
No.
Because
it was embarrassing.
You can't, like, if you're not about excellence, if you're not on the quest for excellence, then get off the train. The quest for excellence, and we're going for the Super Bowl. That's how Everest is judged. So we're going for it. And so you're going to say, oh, don't. Don't put me through the emotional rigor of actually going for excellence. Then get off the train, bro.
Steve, that's a fair point. I'll just say this about the Giants: if that's the quest for excellence, it's scary to think about what excellence looks like because that wasn't a quest for much.
Well, wait a second. Oh, hold on. We started the journey in August because every year is a different year. It used to be that they built on each other, but now it's just you get a new team. You just move on. So in August, we wanted relevant. We were irrelevant. We were nowhere. We got relevancy. We got a lot of things accomplished, a lot of stuff that was really positive. And we ran out of steam. We ran out of, like, we now see that there was improvement from Daniel. There was, but yet we're not there. There was improvement all across the team, but we're not there. And that's, we're relevant. And that is an incredible move from where they were. So
I agree.
Part of fanship, too. Like, stop with the, I can't handle getting my butt kicked. Well, then don't. So to suit up, come on, let's go. Lose it. Hey, we went to the Ronnie Lott thing, didn't we? Did we cover this where he talked about competition as a team sport? Like, if you disrespect losing, you lose the point of what we're trying to accomplish. There's just as much learning in losing as there is winning, and if you don't respect all of it and everyone in it, that's why he would freak out if somebody, you know, kind of chopped a player or did something cheap or late or said something that was disrespectful. Like, he couldn't stand it because you were disrespecting the competition, which had this, it was a beautiful, to his mind, it was a beautiful thing that we all learn from. And if you disrespect it, I have as much to learn as a loser today as I am a winner. And that's how we roll. And so in that same way, the Giants learned a ton this weekend. So learn along with them.
They ain't there. I have a very important question to ask you. And Don brought this up at the end of last hour. How did the 49ers win the faceoff with Charles Haley? I mean, he also played for the Cowboys. Why did he end up on the 49ers side?
What are you talking about? Is a Hall of Famer going
no,
in?
No. He showed up yesterday rooting for the 49ers.
Yeah. I had to bother Jerry.
I think there was, like, deep down, I don't know. I mean, it's a hard – he's got to be split. There's no question because the Cowboys did him right as well. I think we've just – the last 10 years, I think there were associations, and I don't know. There's just a comfort that he's had with our organization and the needs of his family. And like one thing about the 49er organization, very focused on the alumni and health and the Golden Heart Fund, which Ronnie and Harris Barton started to serve, you know, the kind of retired community. And so there's just a lot of things that are happening. I don't know. That's why he might have just ended up there because he turned left and instead of right and didn't know which way. I
mean, all right, so the other big question.
Let's not get too deep about it, but I think that there is some kind of affinity that's happened over the last 10 years with Charles.
I think you'd be a tremendous guy to have as a friend. I think you'd tell your friends the truth. And I think that as a friend, you have to tell Jerry Rice, get rid of that stupid necklace with the 49er helmet. I'm sorry, it doesn't befit a legend like him. What's right. he doing?
So everything kind of changed when he did Dancing with the Stars. Like, I don't know how to tell you this. It's like, just things changed. It was like, in a good way for him, for who... You got to understand the personality that Jerry was and how he dealt with all the complexities, the complex relationships, the complex situations of being the greatest player. Like it's like as he played, it was just he could be super prickly. He could be super like it was Jerry was always, I mean, Jerry was a festival, which I loved. Every ride on the Jerry ride, I loved, like, because it was all about hard work and playing great. But when he won Dancing with the Stars, there was something that clicked in him that settled. There was peace that came with it. And so, you know what he would tell you about the helmet and all the chain and everything? Is he would basically just kick you, you know, just get out. Like, this is my time right now. I am feeling good, and that's how I'm rolling. And I don't know that he is overly concerned about representing what you're describing. Like, he's good to go, and I'm happy for him, and he's in a very good spot.
Yeah. The Giants obviously have work to do. During the offseason, I'm never one to build to beat one specific team because you don't know if you're going to face that team. But considering the Eagles are in your division, you have not been able to beat them, can't beat them there. Does everything that Joe Shane does moving forward think about, all right, how does this match up with the Eagles? How will this guy play against the Eagles? Do you have to think about that as you begin to rebuild this team?
I would, because it's exactly what's happening in the AFC. The Bills, which were rebuilt this year to go beat the Chiefs, and even with the defenses they called at the end of the Chiefs game earlier in the year, there was like things that you could see that they had thought through what happened with the Chiefs. Because, as I've said before, the next 10 years in the AFC, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes, and now we're seeing amongst the three of them, it's going to be whoever goes to the Super Bowl, and they're going to battle each other. Now you're going to say, well, Josh Allen's out of that because he can't get there. Well, so far, for the next 10 years, those three guys are going to decide it all, and that's why I go back to the conversations around the Ravens, around the Jets, around anyone else up in the AFC, like, you better find somebody, Justin Herbert, we better get him the help, because this is the three guys. And so I like the idea of, if we're going to play upper echelon football, if we're going to truly go for the Super Bowl, who are we going to see? And who are we going to be compared to? And let's go beat those guys, because I think that the league has become, I tell you this over and over, like the NBA, where it's, you know, the middle, you know, preseason certainly doesn't work. Most of the regular season doesn't really matter. Like, get seated, get into the tournament, and then make it happen. And then especially in the fourth quarter, like, go make it happen. Who are the closers? And so I like the Giants thinking about the Eagles and going and figuring out in their basic philosophy, in their personnel, all the aspects of it. How do we beat the Eagles is a really smart way to go.
All right, I'm not a guy with recency bias, but you have to be impressed with Joe Burrow. So of all the quarterbacks that are left, if you were starting a team, would you still take Mahomes over him, or would you consider taking Burrow?
Why would you not? How could you not take Patrick Mahomes? I mean, Joe Burrow's coming. There's no question. The one thing about Joe is that Joe has an image in his mind of the old prototype quarterback, which I totally understand. It's the cool stuff. Throwing the football, being a sophisticated passer of the football, is the cool stuff and is championship football. So it's smart. Mm-hmm. But there are so many. Look at the last four teams here. All four are led by offensive-minded, really innovative, smart people who have changed, who have seen the game change in the last 5 years in how little the defense can now attack. They can't throw their bodies. They can't lead with their head. They can't be missiles. They can't patrol the middle of the field. The game is much more room, which is why there's so many more college-like plays that they're running, and all the stuff that's happening in the most innovative teams are claiming that new space. where look at the Cowboys yesterday, running the same stuff they ran in Green Bay in 2014 or 13 or 12 or whatever else was. You could see that they're not updated. And because of that, they can't – there's too many free yards to go get. There's too much – and I go back to your Joe Burrow question. Joe, what he did against the Chiefs this year, then I would say, wow, Patrick, Joe, that's a tough pick. Mm-hmm. But until Joe consistently goes and gets those free yards, not dangerous yards, free yards with his legs, which he can do, those free touchdowns that are out there, then I think that's when he and Patrick are kind of head-to-head.
You think his knee injury, though?
I admit.
You think his knee injury keeps him away from running?
Maybe, and that might be a limiting factor. It's a great, great point. And I just, what my position is, there are too many free first downs mm-hmm. and free touchdowns for quarterbacks to go get in the game today. And with innovative minds to go take that space, and Zach Taylor put in that innovative mind, all four championship teams in this weekend are led by people who are taking advantage of the latest state of play in the NFL, and so much of the NFL is behind that group of people. Now, we've seen others coming, and Mike McDaniel in Miami. You see what's happening. Like, there's Sean McVay, we know. If Sean Payton shows up again, like, there's names. But those are the guys that are looking at the game, seeing where it is today because of safety protocols and all things the league has done, and taking advantage of every inch of the field. And Patrick Mahomes is built absolutely for 2023, 2024. And Joe is close, but I want to see him, hopefully, and maybe it is his knee, it's a good point, but it could be a differentiating factor for Joe.
We were just talking before about, like, what do the Cowboys do? You know, Jerry Jones wants to win a championship now. Does Sean Payton make a difference? Do you just throw a ton of money at him and think the result's going to be any different for Dallas?
100%, 200%. Because it would be the first person since Jimmy Johnson who now was empowered in the locker room by the players to actually say, that guy speaks, it matters. For the last 25 years, whoever speaks in the locker room, does not matter. That's Jason Garrett, everyone else. Nothing against them. They were not empowered to go do the job.
But Parcells was.
And the job is to have, of course. Well, yeah. I mean, for a brief time, I agree with that 100%. But my point being, kind of generally, he does not hire people to be empowered to go basically tell Jerry to shove it, right? Like, I'm the head coach, and for right now, during the season, you can do whatever you want, sit outside the locker room, do your interviews, like, whatever you want to do. But in this locker room, I speak, that's the end of the buck stops with me. And if they could do that, that would be half of what they need to do. The other part, and I said it, people laughed at me last week when I said, take the stars off the helmet until you earn them, is that because the Dallas Cowboys are America's team, and it's really ingested into our American psyche that the Cowboys they're important. They are important when they just show up. And because of that, the players don't get an opportunity to go earn it. Like, they're given it. It's like anything. You give somebody something, it doesn't mean nearly as much as when you earn it yourself. And because of that, it's not their fault. The players are kind of damned from it because they're famous when they put the jersey on. And so in that way, I made the joke, well, you should take the stars off the helmet and only put them on when the team earns the respect that you need. And I think those are the two factors for the Cowboys. Hire an empowered head coach, and then have something that you can do to make those players that show up every August to go make a run at a championship for the Dallas Cowboys, that they get a sense that they have to go earn it, not because they just put the jersey on, put the stars on their helmet.
All right, so you've got to help me. You were there. What was the last play that the Dallas Cowboys ran? What was that?
They were going to do I think they were trying to do a little funky little flip. And.
But what was the point of having Ezekiel Elliott snap the ball? I don't get that.
I give credit for innovation. I give credit for innovation. I mean, when things go haywire, of course you're going to say it's the stupidest thing in the world. But on paper, I'm sure it was kind of cool, and it just never got started. It never actually got, you know. It's like, you know, something. It's like anything. You get it like the horse race. Like when the guy that would – the horse that would have won the race but trips at the gate – and goes face first, you know, and then pops up without a jockey. It's like he might have won, but he didn't get it. You know, he just didn't get started.
Steve, in the educational experience that was the Giants Eagles game on Saturday night, what did you think of Dable?
Thank you.
what did you think of Dable going for it on 4th and 8 so early?
we've gone over this 1,000 times. Look, if you have a spectacular 4th and 8 play that you love, that you know has been set up for this great moment, and you sense it, and you say it's 80% or more, and there are, I think there's plays in guys' books that say, look, I really feel good about it. I'm okay with it. But if you don't, and it's just emotional, and you have a sense that you want to kind of prove something, or then, or this, or heaven forbid, it's not the analytics that tell you to do that, then, you know, which obviously it wouldn't. But to me, look, I give innovative play callers that are smart and have a plan and can execute it and call it and understand combinations and combinations of plays and what it means. Like, there's very few guys like that. We talked about that before. There's very few great offensive minds. There's as many great offensive minds as there are great quarterbacks. And so if you have a play that you love in that spot, I'm cool with it. Just tell me but again, if you didn't have a play, you just had a gut feeling. No, I don't abide that.
I know you're an offensive player, so maybe it's hard to speak to, but like, what does it do to a defense though that early in a game to have their head coach say, we're not going to pin them deep with a punt. We have to go right now.
Hopefully they've all described these kinds of things. That's the thing that you don't want to do as a head coach is shock your players. Like, even when I'm going to shock them how aggressive I am. Well, no, don't shock them. Like, be clear with them. Tell them what you're going to plan to do. Let them know so that when they see that, they're like, oh yeah, he talked about this. We're good to go. We back our guy. So it's all about communication. And I think the defense, if you've communicated it properly, would say, look, we talked about it. We thought it was worthwhile, and it's not against me. I don't have to take this personally. He believes in us. But if you shock him, the first response is, you don't trust me? You don't believe in me? Well, that's not what you want to happen on a football field.
Do you believe, Steve, that Josh Allen misses Brian Daboll, or was that elbow bothering him because he doesn't look like the same quarterback?
Yeah, I think when Mike Shanahan left for the Denver Broncos and took Gary Kubiak, it was tough. So it's real. You don't just switch them out. Mm-hmm. The great ones are the great ones. That's just a fact. And that matters. Also injury, you know, he's banged up a lot. So yes, I think the injury could have happened as well. But I think in the end, philosophically, I don't think it was philosophically, this is where they ended up, is that, okay, we have this great, incredible player, and we're going to ask way too much of him, and he's going to leak oil because we're going to ask too much of him because the ball's going to spit out here and there. But we don't have anywhere else to go. We have nowhere other help to give him. Like, we're just going to ride him until we go to the Super Bowl or die. And I just don't know that even Patrick Mahomes, for all that they ask of him, or Joe Burrow or anyone else, even Justin Herbert, you've got to have other ways to do it. And that that Wednesdays, when defenses get ready for the game, they believe there are other ways that you're going to do it. And that they prepare that way, because that's when they get distracted and they're not just focused on beating the crap out of the quarterback, because he's the only way they get there. That's a tough. By the end of the season, it felt like the Bills had one way to go, and the best teams in the league don't just have one way to go.
As a quarterback, would it be concerning to you, Steve, that Stephon Diggs was really angry at Allen and left the locker room before anybody got in there? What would you do to fuse that, or would you even try?
Yeah, you got to try. These things can fester. They can become real problems, or they can be nothing. I mean, just personalities. I'm not in the locker room, so you don't have the context. So pretty wide guardrails on how I feel about that. But mm-hmm. generally, that's not what – under the pressure of a loss, again, back to the Ronnie Lott thing, there's lots to learn in a loss. And so you kind of abuse that learning when something haywire goes like that, where you just – it becomes the thing. Like, you don't learn from the loss. You learn that, you know, some guy threw a fit, and then – You know, that's not what you want. That's not going to be helpful. And so I needed to heal that pretty quickly. Because the Bills were built to beat the Chiefs and go to the Super Bowl. And they're finding out that the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Bills are in a mix, and they're just going to have to figure out how to beat Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. And that's what you talk about, focus about the Giants and the Eagles. If I was the Bills, focus on Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and go figure it out.
All right, Steve, the dust is out, settled on Daniel Jones. They're going to have to come up with a contract. What do you think he eventually gets? And do the Giants dare move on from him if the price gets too high?
I you know what? I trust Brian Daboll. I trust him. I trust him to figure out this little bit of tough spot here. This is a tight spot. And then he's on the, he's in the room every day. He knows what Daniel was looking at every time he threw the football, has the context. And if he saw enough growth and enough room to maneuver upwards, then I can see them leaning in. And but if he's seen things, they say, you know what, I've topped out, then I can see him leaning out. And that's just going to be a, his call, because we can watch, and even my educated eye for all the years that I played quarterback, you don't know the context for every read. You don't know exactly what he's looking at. And you don't know the trajectory. I know the trajectory was up and to the right for Daniel. It was a positive, positive season. But these fundamental questions of where's the ceiling, what, and how far can he go, and where can he take us, those are questions that he only he can answer.
All right, before we let you go, very quick takes. You've got the Chiefs and the Bengals. Who do you like?
Healthy. Is Patrick Mahomes healthy?
Well, supposedly a high ankle sprain. You tell me.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I mean,
the line has shifted to deal. -1 for Cincinnati.
Yeah,
so
since he's now a favorite.
So they're worried about something.
If he's hurt and can't get around, then I think it's a toss-up. But if he's not hurt and can really roll, then I still think Patrick going and getting those free yards and those free touchdowns, if Joe's unwilling to kind of do that, reflexively, I think those are difference makers. So I like the Chiefs, but if he's hurt, then, the Bengals had, look what they did with, they went in with the snowstorm with the banged up offensive line and just dominated. I mean, that's a heck of a thing that they did. So I don't know. It's a tough one. That's a tough one, of course.
And then you've got the Eagles and the 49ers.
Tough in some ways, because both are swimming in the deep end, kind of with new players that haven't done it before. Brock Purdy, I mean, you got to be kidding me. This 49er team, I will tell you, this is why it's a great matchup, because both locker rooms are the best locker rooms in the NFC. Like, in other words, self-policing, taking care of business, coming out of the locker room into the warm-ups, they're already up 7 or 14. I mean, that's just how they come out together with all the talent they have. They're going to be super tough to beat. It's a great matchup, and if the Eagles play as well as they did last week, and it's back to where they were in mid-season, then I just depends on Brock Purdy, because I think it could come down to a young, inexperienced guy making some crazy plays that you go, no, what are you kidding me, 9-0 and doing that. And that's the scary part for the Eagles, is like, is this real? Is this happening? And, with the 49ers and the way Kyle Shanahan deploys the assets, Brock Purdy is not asked to do really, really difficult things. But when he's asked to do anything difficult, he responds. So both games are classic, great matchups that I'm looking forward to.
And how do you feel about the NFL actually kicking the tires on neutral site championship games?
No, you can't do that.
But they're talking about it.
No,
it would make me sick.
No. I don't know what they're. I don't know why. What? Give me a business reason for it.
I can't. The only thing I can think of, Steve, is if you incorporated it to have it at the same place as the Super Bowl and just try to make it, like Michael Kay would say, a bacchanal for 2 weeks in the same city. But even then, you work too hard to get the one seed. So you tell me you get a one seed and you get one lousy playoff game at home?
I don't know. I think they're letting up a flare just to distract or something, because that's just – football's built on that exact thing. And Ronnie Lott would freak out. What are you talking about? You can't disrespect the competition, man. You won it. You get the proceeds. So yeah, that wouldn't go well.
Do you? Before we let you go, do you agree? Because I've been thinking about this a lot. What Brock Purdy is doing. Maybe this is hyperbole. I don't know. I think it's one of the great sports stories of all time. This is the last pick in the draft, the third quarterback, and he doesn't lose, and he doesn't make the big mistake. It's one of the great sports stories we'll ever see.
It's nuts. And I think that I would say this, that if you want to crown someone today, you crown, and I'm not, because I'm a 49er, I'm not homering here. I'm telling you, I honestly think, if I step away and just objectively with what I know, is that Kyle Shanahan is this generation's genius, and how he deploys Jimmy G and how he's deployed Brock Purdy and all the rest of their assets. He does things from the sideline in innovation and in motion and in shifting and in play calling and combinations to allow the quarterback, and the same with Jimmy, allow him to be the best that he possibly can be. And that is an art that very few have. And so you have, look, if it was just Brock Purdy came out of nowhere and was his best self, but Jimmy G was his best self. And so in that way, that goes to the genius that the guy is on the sidelines. And you have to just tip your cap on it. You have to tip your cap to Brock. There's no question about that. It's amazing. But you can't do it alone. A young player like that can't do it alone. He's got a super genius on the sidelines helping him do it. But Brock's executing it. And it is one of the great sports stories. I agree with that.
Great stuff, Steve. We'll talk to you next week and enjoy the weekend.
All right, boys. Take care. All right,
thanks. That's Steve Young. I love he put Peter in his place like a bad child. I love that.
He broke his back and made him humble.
Oh,
I mean, like I said, I honestly don't care about his opinion. I love him.
Oh!
No, that's great. I love that response.
I love him. He's not a fan. He's a football player, so I don't care. But...
All right, we'll
love
take
him.
A brief
back
time
down,
out.
Peter.
Let
not
Peter lick man. His wounds, and we'll be back to watch him do it right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Giants had the day that teams don't look forward to. It's kind of like the post-mortem. Yesterday was the baggy day. Today, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll met the media. And when you listen to the entirety of what they said, you get the impression they want Daniel Jones back. Daniel Jones is coming back in some way, shape, or form. But you also get the impression, and Don and Peter, correct me if you think I'm wrong, you kind of get the impression is, hey, if Saquon doesn't want what we're offering him, then that's fine. I mean, I think they want him back, but I don't think they're going to move heaven and earth because bottom line is you're not going to get Saquon Barkley in the third round, but you'll get a serviceable running back in the third round. And I don't think the Giants are going to break the bank because Ian O'Connor reported during the weekend that when talks broke off, during the bye week, they offered him $12.5 million a year. Now he said yesterday,
"Wow,
he's not looking to break the bank because the highest paid running back is Christian McCaffrey at $16 million a year,
right?
And I believe that Ezekiel Elliott is $15 million. He says he's not looking to break the bank, but he turned down $12.5 million a year. So what exactly is he trying to do? Because I read the franchise tag, non exclusive one, 9.5. Now, I know what everybody wrote, well, you know, that would really upset him. Too bad. You signed a basic agreement. This part of the basic agreement. If they could get him for 9.5, I'd keep keeping a running back because as a running back gets older, they're going to lose skills, Don.
No, they are. But if they were willing to go 12.5, you know, then are you gonna not bring him back for, like, what's the number? You know, because, again, because it's so low, the raise is negligible, right? You've got cap space, so – hey, I'm willing to give you 12.5, but if you want to go to 14, that $1.5 million is going to kill us, so we're going to let you go. You know, you're talking about maybe tens of millions of dollars for a quarterback whether the difference between 30 and 40, that might be a couple of players on your roster.
Right.
But raising it a little bit more, how much is it really going to affect your cap? So is he special enough because you drafted him? Well, this regime did not, but still. And there's a lot of 26s in the stands. Hey, we were willing to go to 12.5. He helped us get into the playoffs for the first time in a decade. We'll go 14. It's a $1.5 million.
Yeah, every dollar counts in a cap.
It does, but listen, I'm the first one to tell you they shouldn't have picked him because this is the dilemma you have, right? You don't take somebody second overall, and we're talking about a pittance compared to other positions on the field, right? The fact that the cap hit, I just retweeted it because it just came out officially today. The number, the cap hit for a quarterback compared to a running back is just ridiculous, the difference. Well, it's like a 20-something million-dollar difference between the two.
Right.
So it just shows you right there. You picked the wrong position. I can't break the bank. But are you really breaking the bank if you said, all right, we'll give you 13, we'll give you 14? And really, who's going to give him more than that?
Don't you get the impression, though, Peter, that Shane is a guy, this is what we're offering you. If it's 12.5, he's not going to 13. He's just not. I mean, maybe he bumps it up a little. I think he's a man of conviction who manages the cap and said, this is exactly what we're giving him. We're not giving him 14.
Well, this came up in our conversation with the Mets and Carlos Correa a couple weeks ago. Where is that line? Is it arbitrary? But I sort of understand where they're coming from. If they feel like 12.5 is a very generous number, and guys, I got to tell you, given the history, because McCaffrey's still on the deal that he got before the last injury, right?
Right.
Yes.
He didn't get it after his second injury.
No.
He got it after the first injury. So, like, the idea that you would, after everything, give him much more than 12.5, I don't know.
And again, I got the number. The cap hit, non-exclusive, 32.4 for a quarterback, 10.1 for a running back. I mean, that's right. A big difference. Right. So the question becomes, listen, we're willing to go a little bit above and beyond because you've helped us over the last few years. You've been a really good player. Fans love you. Is some other organization going to look? Yeah, I'll give him 15, 16. I don't see that happening, guys. Do you?
No, not for running back.
Give a little extra because it matters. I think it matters to a franchise to have a good guy on your team, a popular guy on your team. That might be worth X amount of dollars.
And he's both a good guy and a popular guy.
And I get that. And even though this regime didn't draft him, hey, you've been a good player for this team for a long time here. And when healthy, you can influence us. And we're going to have to go out and get weapons. We believe you're a weapon already.
Here's
other
Shane
teams aren't going to go that extra mile.
Talking about, would he want Saquon back?
This is a special team to me. It was my first year. We'd like to have all the guys back. I really would, but there's a business side to it, and you know, there's rules that you need to operate under in terms of the salary cap. And you know, Saquon's a good player. He's a great teammate. You know, I love getting to know him this season. And you know, he's a guy we would like to have back. It's just, again, we haven't had our end of season meetings yet. We're less than 48 hours after that game, so everybody's going to step back. You know, take the emotion out of it, evaluate the roster, and then again, we got to operate under the salary cap. How are you going to divvy up? How we're going to create the roster, what are the priority positions, and how we're going to move forward. But you know, we would like to have Saquon back if it works out.
There's a lot of ifs there.
Well, you know what it sounds like to me is that he's not high on the priority list.
Right. He also made it a point to say he's a good player and a great guy.
Right. Great guy. And that might be worth something to the Giants. I don't know if that's going to be worth, you know, to another organization who just wants to go out there and win. It's strictly going to go on the cap because they don't maybe know the influence that he has in New York and how the fan base feels about him translating to another organization. But what it sounds like to me is, Michael, they got to deal with the quarterback. They've got to go help the quarterback to get weapons. And then because of the amount of the money that it takes to sign a running back, which is not a lot in the grand scheme of things, what do they have left to then offer him? Because maybe there will be a spare $1 or $2 million. They'll say, all right, let's throw it to Saquon because he's a good guy. But they're not going to do that now and then go, we could have had that wide receiver, or could have that tight end, but unfortunately we're against the cap, we can't do it.
And they have so many free, I mean, Julian Love. I mean, they have a lot of guys. Yeah. A lot of guys. Dexter Lawrence. Now compare this to what Shane said about wanting Jones back.
We'd like Daniel to be here. Again, he said it yesterday. There's a business side to it, but we feel like Daniel played well this season. He's done everything that we asked him to do. And, you know, again, there's a business side to it. We haven't went down that road yet. You know, we still got to have our meetings with our staff late in the week, and we'll devise an off-season plan. But we haven't had those meetings yet, but we would like to have Daniel Jones back.
That's a lot more positive all the way, because I do it to Donna Peter. We haven't gone down that road yet. Anyway, here is Shane talking about, is there a talent gap between you and the NFC East teams?
I know Philly more intimately, and yeah, I would say yes, there's a talent gap there that we need to close. And that, to me, it's the NFC East. I mean, we're 1-5-1 against the NFC East, and if you win the division, the rest takes care of itself. So that's always going to be a goal of ours, you know, to close that gap and, you know, be NFC East champs. So that's the goal, and that's what we're going to work towards.
Here's Brian Daboll on Daniel Jones.
I mean, I've said it all year. He's done everything that we've asked him to do as an offensive staff, and he's done a really good job with operating and executing our offense. I think he's made strides in a lot of different areas. Certainly, we can all make strides and more, but you know, he's been a good leader for us, played the quarterback position well for us. I'm happy we had him.
Peter, I don't know if you get the same sense. None of these guys, maybe it's a good thing. They're not that effusive.
No.
Especially Daboll when it comes to Jones. He's not that effusive.
Yeah, much less so than Shane. That was the interesting part.
Shane seemed much more positive.
Well, I'll tell you what, neither of them are, you know, Rex Ryan promoting promoting Revis to be defensive player of the year in a contract season.
Right.
They're not going to make that mistake now that it's over. Like, I believe they're all a little bit buttoned up now, because now the season is over and now it's for real. They probably started the work on Sunday morning, what they're going to do moving forward, because they know there's a lot of work to be done. He said it. You're 1-5-1 in your division, and to Peter's point from back at the 4 o'clock hour, when we were kind of getting on him about the embarrassment, you could talk about the embarrassment of losing to Philadelphia on the field on Saturday, but overall, having Philadelphia compete for a Super Bowl and you be a non-playoff team is equally embarrassing, because now you're not even in the same stratosphere, you know. So you feel like you're moving in the right direction, but still, Saturday represented how far you still have to go. It's one thing to make the playoffs. Now you got to try to win this division against that team who you can't beat. So there's a lot of work to do to make sure you can now beat them.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. Come back with more of your phone calls. And then ENN with Peter, because we're on until 6:30 today, because we have the Ranger pregame show at that point. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
I'm going for it today, guys. With today's ice picks driven by Nissan.
Did you hit a parlay on Friday?
I did. At +171.
Wow.
So now we're going 3-leg parlay.
Woo!
At a whopping, get this, Peter, +369.
Now we're talking.
Leafs home for the Islanders.
You're taking the Leafs.
Taking the Leafs.
Okay.
Flames home for the Blue Jackets.
I'm taking the Flames.
Yeah. Sure you are.
Now, pick them. This is why it goes to +369. Sabres at Stars. I'm going Buffalo.
Wow. Yeah.
Love Buffalo.
3-leg parlay at +369. If this hits, I don't want to hear from anybody. Because this would be very, very big. I could have won with a +71. +171, it just went Stars, just went with the three favorites, but no, we're not playing that game. That's today's Ice Picks, driven by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com, today. Now, both the Stars and the Sabres have won 2 in a row, so this isn't coming from a place of just me being out of my mind.
Yeah.
You can win in Dallas. I've been there. You can win it. So, that's my picks.
Peter, I need your take on something.
Are you sure? Most people hate my takes today.
No. Your takes are different. Dallas Cowboys official site on Twitter, 4.3 million followers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is what they tweeted out last night at 11:48.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys official Twitter site. Okay. Dak Prescott gave away the ball twice in the narrow loss to the 49ers in a matchup. The Cowboys had a chance to win if they didn't again generate self-inflicted wounds.
Wow.
You're kidding. Listen, don't get me wrong. I get annoyed, like, by my own team's, like, hackish social media when they do a good job, but like during a loss and they just post like good stats, you know, Don, you're kind of like, all right, let's stop. But the alternative is insane. You can't do that.
My goodness. Right, this is from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim official Twitter account.
Oh, this hat, Don, this is going to be big.
This better be good. I'm walking.
Artie Moreno, the Moreno family, is ending the exploratory process to sell the team.
Like, flush it.
And will continue ownership throughout the 2023 season and beyond.
Oh.
They're keeping everybody. Extensions for everyone. Ohtani.
How about
Trout.
This, though, Peter? So are you talking about the Jeff Bezos stuff in ENN?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to bring it up, sure.
Okay, good. I'll leave it alone.
Because there's some smoke there. There's something going on.
Some of it doesn't make sense to me.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. I look forward to hearing that. Now, by the way, speaking of the commies, Don, you would agree with me that even though, you know, the Giants won that pivotal game against the Commanders and they earned it, you would agree the refs were absolutely horrid, no?
Yes.
They were the refs given the NFC Championship yesterday.
Well, no, they couldn't have been all of them because the teams in the playoffs are broken up for the best. So they might have been a few, but they couldn't have been the exact same team.
I think it was my man though who told Terry you're good and then hit him with the flag.
So wow. he got a divisional round.
Yeah, there you go.
That's not right.
Let's go to Gino in the Bronx. Gino.
Hey, what's up? So I know he's your guy and everything,
yep.
Right? With Young, but every time you guys have him on, I just wish one time you'd ask him. Like, I heard Don say something before, and I'm going to say the same thing, right? Burrow is going to be, if he's not already, the best quarterback in football. I'm tired of hearing him talk about all these free yards, the running, the this, the that. Listen, every one of those guys has been hurt, is hurt, going to get hurt, right? I don't want my quarterback running around. I want to know he's in the pocket, he's available every week, the most prolific winner of all time, Brady, right? 7 Super Bowls, and Burrow is going to be Brady 2.0. You'll see. He's already beaten Mahomes 3 times.
I know. Well, so, he's got his number, but you know, listen, Mahomes is pretty good too. I mean, 5 straight championship game appearances. He's waltzing into the Hall of Fame.
If you're going to take running away, well, then what's Jalen Hurts? And definitely, what's Daniel Jones?
Now, listen, you may be proven right, Michael. Burrow might turn out to be this, you know, generation's Tom Brady. But let's see him win. But there's a lot of other things to go into it besides just the quarterback. We talk about the quarterback all the time, but Mahomes is really good, people. I mean, come on.
I'm looking forward to this. Mike, where did you grow up, Don?
Hawthorne.
Here you go, Mike.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. All the best to you and your families. I just want to ask Peter a couple of questions. First of all, has he ever played chess before? Because that was the quickest checkmate I've ever seen anybody lose an argument with Steve Young with regards to his take on not wanting to play the game if you're going to get beat that bad. And then to have the disrespect. Steve Young, I think we all can agree, is one of your best segments on the show.
Absolutely.
Every week.
I had a great time.
And listen, and you guys have to do a great job bantering back and forth, but if I was Steve Young, I would tell Peter to go jump in the lake, how disrespectful he was at the end there, Michael, when he said, I don't care what Steve Young said. It's not like Mike from Hawthorne saying it. No, like,
but that's it. But you know what, Mike from Hawthorne? I would actually, on this subject, the opinion was actually more for Mike from Hawthorne than a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's all I was saying. I knew that a player would see it differently. Of course, I don't have what it takes to make the NFL. We're different humans, and neither do you, Mike from Hawthorne. And furthermore, as for you've never seen checkmate like that in an argument, that's because someone like you, the second they hear it come out of Steve Young's mouth, it's checkmate. I didn't even have an opportunity. There would never even be a world in which my response right. would have ever gotten me a win. All I did is what. And by the way, and you're so wrong. I actually, Don, showed complete respect because I respect Steve so much. I wasn't going to have some back and forth with him. He gave his opinion. Yes, he sunned me. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I take it and move on.
But it was
going
to be a drop the mic for him because he came from a player's perspective, and he's Steve Young, and you're Peter Rosen.
Correct.
But I do respect the fact that you took that take because you're – so what? Steve Young, disagreed. You're sticking with your argument. I disagree with it as well. It's been a humbling day for you from that standpoint, but stick to your guns.
I don't feel humbled.
No, but no, I'm just saying that you didn't get a lot of support.
Not a lot.
But see, this is the one thing I will say, and I love Mike. He's from my hometown. We know Mike. Mike O'Hagan. He's a great guy.
No, he's a nice guy. I do like him.
But here's what I'll say, is that you cannot have a wrong opinion. You can have a back and forth, but Peter shouldn't feel he lost. That's his opinion. This isn't 2 + 2 = 5. It's his opinion.
And this opinion, Don, it's so weird that it's affecting people so much. It would be one thing if, like, I showed up tomorrow and I was like, guys, Jason Tatum is better than Michael Jordan. And you guys went, whoa, 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 you're insane. You've lost your mind. I go, no. It's my opinion. Jason Tatum's better than Michael Jordan. That would be like an unfounded, there's evidence to back up that you're wrong. It's just a completely ludicrous opinion. In the case of how to root for a football team, there is no correct answer.
Right.
You're getting angry about something that there's really, it doesn't matter. That's why I didn't understand why people got so bent out of shape about it. If you don't care about losing 38-7 to the Eagles, okay, that's fine.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.